You're listening to the Great Recruiter Training Podcast, hosted by industry expert, trainer, and motivator, Scott Love.
Hi, this is Scott Love, and thanks for joining me for another episode of the Great Recruiter Training Podcast. Look at where you are within your search practice, within your business, or on your desk, however you describe that. I want to ask you this question. Do you want to stay at the same level next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and so on? Is that what you really want? Well, if you're not seeking knowledge within our business, then that's exactly what you're going to get. In fact, you might even go down from that, because people only grow in this business when they're strengthening their muscles. Otherwise, their muscles atrophy, and they get soft, and they wonder why they're not billing. I've been around this business for a long time. I've been all over the world. I've met recruiters, literally thousands of recruiters. I've consulted to dozens of firms in their offices. I've sold products to over 3,500 recruiting firms around the globe. And I've met a lot of people. And the sad revelation I have for you is that probably about 90% of them are not going to reach their full potential. And I'm sorry, I hate to say that. And I don't consider myself someone that's negative. I consider myself an optimist, but I'm a realistic optimist. I think the maturity that I've had in the business and the gray hair and the gray in the temples, all that's given me a realistic perspective on what it really takes to be wildly successful in this business. I think this is the easiest way to make a six-figure income and the hardest way to make $40,000 a year. If you're not giving it your all, you will end up with nothing. It's an all-or-nothing business. If you're not giving it your all, 100%, if you're not giving that, you're going to end up with zero. It's really hard to hit at it with a stick and to say, you know, I'm going to try this. You've got to make a commitment. And the biggest commitment you can make to yourself is to get the knowledge that you don't have right now to get you beyond where you are today. I hope that makes sense to you. One thing I'll share with you, and I don't want to turn this into a commercial. This is all I'm going to say about this. Two things. One of them is check out my coaching club. If you have not done this, if you have not visited the link and looked at all the material that you get, my friend, it's over 150 hours of my training that you can stream from your iPhone or whatever mobile device you have. You can take me to the gym with you when you're on the treadmill. Instead of watching whatever news station the talking heads yell at each other, you can make money by learning a new tactic or a new strategy that you have not yet considered from my training. Now, I'm really honored and I'm blessed and I'm humbled that I've been able to amass quite a bit of wealth and knowledge just through my experiences. And as a lot of you know, I'm not speaking at conferences. I'm not doing outside consulting. I'm not doing coaching. You're not going to see me. In fact, I'm only doing one seminar, and this is probably going to be my last seminar here in September in my office here in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a two-day seminar. If you're interested in that, go to my website. It's going to be September 26th and 27th. Look on the link that says Live Seminars. Check it out. That's probably going to be my last one because I'm working my practice. I'm meeting with clients. I'm making big placements. I've got a lot of exciting things going on. And at least for the next few years, that's my core focus. I seriously doubt that I'll be on the speaking circuit again. That's why I put all my training on the web. And if you want to get that, join the coaching club. If you say you don't have money, what that means is that it's just not a priority for you. And that's okay. It's not for everybody. Don't join it if you're not willing to work for it. I will give you the knowledge. You have to do everything else. You have to put in the sweat equity and the time that it takes. But you know what? If you're looking for that system that's replicable, and if you've got the desire, I'd highly recommend you check it out. There's no long-term commitment. Sign up. If you don't like it, then cancel it. No harm, no foul. All you've lost is the first month. And depending on the number of people that use it, it's as low as $77. If you go to Google, you type recruiter training, that training website, greatrecruitertraining.com, has been number one from Google for the last year and a half every single day. There's a reason why that is. How did it get to be number one on Google? Well, I've got an admin person that did a little bit of SEO, but you're the ones that made it number one because of the content that's on there, and I appreciate that. You guys are the one that gave it that number one ranking just because of what it's done for you. So two things. If you're interested in coming to the two-day seminar, and that's going to be no more than 10 people, that's going to be September 26th and 27th here in my office in Washington, D.C., or check out the coaching club and consider trying it for a month. You have to attend the weekly coaching club group training sessions. It's every Monday at 1 o'clock. If you can't make them, they're all recorded. And like I said at least 150 hours. It's got to be more like 200 hours. I haven't even counted it in a few months. But there's a lot of content on there that you can listen to, and it will help you become a big biller. And like I said, you can take it with you. Take it to the gym, listen to it from your iPhone, and it will make you money if you apply what you learn. And now let's listen to an excerpt from one of my coaching club calls. And this is, how do you get a candidate moving forward in the process? Let's say you recruited them. They said, yes, I'm interested in your client's opportunity. What happens from that point on? How do you make that transition from them being a new candidate in your process? So take a listen, and I hope this helps you make another placement.
So let's go ahead and get started on the training of the call. Let's say that you're talking with a candidate, and the candidate says they're interested. You did a recruiting call, whether it was a referral or a cold call. You've talked with them a little bit, and they say, yes, I'm interested. You know how it is. Instead of just pitching the opportunity, you engage, you probe, you find out the pushes and the pulls, and then you present the client's opportunity based on that. They say, you know, that sounds interesting to me. I think I'm interested. There's four different ideas I'm going to share with you. One concept, though, that you need to hold in your mind forever in all phases of the business, at every point of the deal, is this. What's going to happen next and when? You need to know exactly where every deal is, every step of the process. You need to know what that next step is and when. Who's doing what and when? Oh, my client said they wanted to interview the candidate. Well, who's setting that up? Well, who's calling whom? When are they going to call them? When are they going to set up the meeting? All that. And that goes along with this concept right here. We've got the candidate, and they say, yes, I'm interested. So this is the point of the process. Let's say it was a recruiting call or a qualifying call. That's like the second conversation you've had with them. And they say, yes, I'm interested. Step number one, explain the process. And there's four different subsets off of here. The first one is this. You are drawing a line of demarcation, and you're telling them that your role is different now. So you say it like this. So, Joe, from this point on, then, my role is to facilitate the process. So you're telling them, from this point on, my role is going to be different. I'm going to be, you know, I mean, you don't have to say I'm different, because you were, their first role was to recruit them. Now they said yes. So you just say, from this point on, Joe, my role is to facilitate the process of you and my client getting to know each other. That's the first one. It's like there's a demarcation point. You're making it very clear what your role is. Now, you might say, well, shouldn't they figure it out? Well, you can't make assumptions like that, because they might not know how the business works with third-party headhunters. They might not have ever considered making a move. They just don't know. I've found that professionals, especially if they're very sharp, very intelligent, they appreciate doing business with people that have a process in place, even if it's very simple. In fact, if it's a simple process, they actually appreciate that even more, because it takes the mystery out of it, and they can understand that, and they feel confident in you as a recruiter. There are a lot of recruiters out there that do not convey professionalism to the candidates who they recruit, and it really is a way to cause the candidates to want to back off. So the first part is, you say, from this point on, Joe, my role from now on is to facilitate the process of you and my client getting to know each other. And then the next stage on that is you're leading them forward. And you tell them what the next step is. So what's going to happen next is, I'm going to present your candidate summary or your resume to my client, and if they're interested, we'll schedule a meeting. And there's going to be a series of meetings, and I'm going to get very involved in coaching you on how to interview effectively. And if they like you and you like them, there's going to be an offer, and I'm going to be involved in helping negotiate that. And if the offer works for you and you turn your notice in, I'm going to get involved in holding your hand and helping you turn your notice in. So it's a very smooth and very painless transition process. So in 30 seconds, you have conveyed to them in a very simple format exactly what happens next. Let me kind of summarize this one more time. By the way, these calls are being recorded, so you can go back and listen to this over and over again. So from this point on, Joe, my role is to facilitate the process of you and my client getting to know each other. And this is what's going to happen next. I'm going to present your resume to them, and if they're interested, they're going to bring you in for a meeting, and I'll get involved in coaching you on how to interview so that you shine when you're during the involved in those meetings. And there's probably going to be a series of meetings. And if they like you and if you like them, there's going to be an offer. And I'm going to get involved in helping to negotiate compensation so it turns out to be good for everybody. And if the offer works, I'm going to get involved in holding your hand and coaching you on how to resign and removing all the anxiety from this. So it's a very smooth and painless process. So you drew the line, demarcation point. You led them forward by telling them what's happening next. Now, the next phase on this, explaining the process, is relieve the pressure. So if at any time, Joe, as we go through this process, if you're not interested, I'm okay with that. If it's not in your best interest to go forward with my client, then you shouldn't go forward. You see, Joe, this is your career, and you only need to do those things that you see are truly in your own best interest, and that's all that counts. And then all of a sudden, the candidate looks at you differently compared to every other recruiter they'd ever talked with. Now you have moved into that role as trusted candidate advisor. The way they look at you, it's going to shift. And all of a sudden, you might even see them just kind of rest easy, like, oh, that's great. They're just going to breathe easier. You want to be a pressure valve, not a pressure builder. Now, the key in this is now you're developing an authentic relationship. So if there is any concern, they're going to share it with you. And then you decide, is it a deal killer or is it a deal complicator? And if you don't have the right type of trust relationship with them, they're not even going to tell you about that. Then the final phase off of this first one is to close them and to set expectations. So you've explained all this. You've drawn the line of the demarcation. It's different. This is my role. You're going to lead them forward. This is what's going to happen next. Then you're going to relieve the pressure. And if at any time you're not interested, and now you're bringing closure, you're setting expectations. You've said all this to them, and then you say these two, the two magic questions. Number one is, does that make sense to you, Joe? Yes, it does. Are you okay with that then? Sure, I'm fine. And you have gained closure from them, and you're moving them forward. And it's also based on the concept of verbal agreements. If we can at least get somebody to verbally agree that they're comfortable with it, that they're okay with it, they're not going to disappear. The odds are not as high that they're going to disappear on us at the end. So that's the first part in this, to explain the process to them. The next phase in the same conversation is to confirm communication going forward. Well, Joe, let me give you my contact info, and I want to make sure that you have all that. Here's my email address. Here's my phone number. Then the next thing you want to do is make sure you have their email address. Now, in terms of going forward with your email, do you prefer that I communicate with you on your business email or your personal email? And if they give you a personal one, ask them, how often do you check it? Sometimes they say, well, I don't check it all that often. So why don't you call me or send me an email on my work email address to tell me to check my personal one? You need to know these things because I did this with the candidate. 2 weeks, she hasn't gotten back to me, and I called her. Hey, what did you think of what I sent you? She said, what do you mean? I said, I sent it to your Hotmail address. She said, oh, gosh, I didn't tell you. I don't even check that one. And see, that's why when you make all these great mistakes, this is how you learn, right? I didn't even check all. I don't even check that anymore. I didn't even get that. So you get their email and find, especially if it's an AOL email address or a CompuServe or something like that, or a Hotmail. Even though a lot of people have Hotmails, that's still an old one. So how often do you check that? And in terms of reaching you over the phone, do you prefer that I call you at work or at your, you know, actually, you know what, in thinking about this, go ahead and get their cell. Just say, let me get your cell phone number. Get the cell and then ask, do you prefer that I call you on the cell or that I call you on your work number? And no matter what they say, just let them know, okay, I'll try to reach you in either one of those locations. If I can't reach you on the cell, I'll just try you at work and vice versa. Another thing you want to find out about, does anybody else check your email or your voicemail for you? Because some people, they'll have their executive assistants check all their email. Like with this merger deal that I'm doing for my client, we're getting pretty far along the process. And one of the things I had to ask these law firm leaders was, who else has access to your email? And the same thing, well, here's my personal, I don't check it, but email my work, you know, and let me know you're going to send me something. So that's how you have to work that. This is pretty simple, but it's very important. And then number three, now I actually went out of order. I did say confirm your contact info. So either way, you give them your contact info, you get their contact info. I always recommend to have your cell phone on your business card. And if it's a candidate that you're really interested in and you're okay with them calling you at night, tell them that. I think some candidates appreciate that. So I do a lot of face-to-face. I give them my business card. I say, here's my cell. I'm usually in the office, but if I'm not, try my cell day or night. You know, anytime I'm available for you. No one ever does, but I think they all appreciate that. Next one, final, number four. Confirm the next specific steps. Tell them what's going to happen next. Next thing I need from you, Joe, is to get your resume. Do you have something already put together? No, it might take me a few days. Or whatever, or I need to modify that. When do you think I should expect to see it come across the email? And then write the date down. And that's your first mental date that you want to remember. Now, we're developing a baseline as to how they work. If they work at a high level and they always do what they say, the resume will come when it's supposed to. If it doesn't, well, we don't know what that means. We can't make a judgment based on incomplete information. We don't know what that means. So we have to make an assessment. Are they interested or not? Maybe they're not interested. Maybe there's a priority. Maybe they got sick. Maybe there's a death in the family. Who knows what happened? Either way, they said they would get us a resume by the 29th, and we don't have it. One thing you don't want to do is put people on a guilt trip. You don't want to ever make them feel guilty for not complying. Always give them a way to save face. Always give them a way to exit gracefully, okay? Always do that. So let's say they said they would get it to you by Monday. And what I always like to do, if I need to go over the resume, let's say this is the first call. I went over all this with the candidate. I need to get a resume from you, like the next immediate step. When do you think you should expect to revise your resume, and when can I expect to see that come across the email? I can get it to you by Monday. I would recommend going ahead and doing this, scheduling a time to go over it. Well, great. Let me do this then. Let me look at my calendar, and let me see what I have available. How about you get that to me Monday morning? That'll give me time to review it, and then why don't we talk 2 o'clock Monday, and we'll go over your resume. And they say, sure, that's fine. And then you let them know. And if something comes up, Joe, and you need to reschedule on Tuesday, just give me a heads up because I've got a pretty tight schedule. And I definitely want to give you my time. Principle of verbal agreements. This is how you keep people from blowing you off. By saying, if something comes up, just shoot me a quick email. I'm going to email you all my contact info, right? And then you go forward. What's the best way to reach you? All that. Also, confirm next steps going forward. Is there any information you need to get to them? Maybe there's a summary of your client's opportunity you want to get to them. And then always get a date for the next action step. And always do it. And if you can't, so let's say that you tell them, I'll get you the client's info over the weekend. And if you can't do it, let's say something comes up. Email them Sunday night then. Email them. Tell them, I'm sorry, I said I would get that to you over the weekend, but my little girl got sick and I'm not able to. I'll get it to you no later than Monday afternoon. And let's say the weekend passes and you told them you get something to them and you didn't. Always address it. I apologize for not getting to you. My little girl was sick or whatever. I got sick or whatever the issue was. You need to address it. If you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, even if it's something minor, I said I'd send you a link to my client's information. I apologize, but we had company come in town and I wasn't able to. It's no big deal. I mean, that's no big deal. But you know what? They're going to remember that this is the kind of person that I can rely on. Those are the things that you look for in candidates also. If they say they're going to do something, they do it. And you need to address it if something didn't happen. So let me go over this one more time. Let me go over the first one, the points in the process here, or where you explain the process. We've got 4 points. Number one is demarcation. From this point on, my role is changing. From this point on, my role is to facilitate the process of you and my client getting to know each other. Then you lead them forward. Number two, so this is my process. I'm going to present your bio to them or your resume. If they're interested in you, they'll invite you in. There's going to be a series of meetings. I'm going to get very involved in helping you prepare for those so you'll be able to interview effectively. And if they like you and if you like them, then there's going to be an offer. And I get very involved in negotiating compensation. And if that works out, then I'm going to get involved in helping you to turn your notice in so it's a very seamless and a very painless transition. Then number three, you relieve the pressure. And you say, if at any time you're not interested in going forward with my client, I'm okay with that. All I need you to do is just tell me that. Because you need to do what's in your best interest, Joe. That's all that counts. And then finally, number four, you close and set expectations. And you say, does that make sense to you, Joe? Yes, it does. Are you okay with going forward that way? Yes, I am. And by doing this, my friend, you have removed so many variables that will kill a deal. And you've done it early in the process. You have insulated yourself from a tremendous amount of risk because you're handling it well in the beginning. And if you just do what I've shared with you, I bet that some of you will close probably about 2 or 3 more deals every year just from this one exercise right here.
Thanks for listening. Catch me on Facebook also. You can just type my name, or if you want to type out the whole name together, it's Scott T. Love. No spaces, just Scott Love. You can just go to Facebook and type that in and you can see. It's basically just pictures of my family and fun things that we do. It's not a lot of business. But if you want to connect with me on Facebook, I'd invite you. I accept all requests for that. Thanks for listening. If you want free tools and free downloads, go to the website. It's greatrecruitertraining.com. If you're curious about the coaching club, check that link out. If you're curious about the Washington seminar, check the live seminars link. And I'll catch you next time. Thanks again for listening. Now get back on the phone.